Well, thanks for sticking around. I'm standing between you and lunch, so I'm glad that some of you stuck around. So I'm going to be talking to you today about linking soil health to improve water quality by the planting of cover crops. I'm actually at University of Notre Dame, and I'm working closely with Jennifer Tank, and Brittany Hanrahan is our graduate student, along with our technician, Ursula Mall. So we're out of the Environmental Change Initiative, a research center at Notre Dame. We're also in the biology department, so you'll see that my perspective is a little bit different than a lot of people in this room. I'm not an agronomist. I'm actually in a stream ecology lab. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to stand closer. We couldn't have done this without partnerships, and we're not an agronomy school, so we don't have an experimental farm. So we've had to work closely with the Nature Conservancy, soil and water conservation districts, both of whom have connected us, most importantly, with the farmers, producers in our Kosciuszko County. So every time I go to a conference, the research motivation I'm about to present to you, I see on every slide, but since we're not in a water session here, this will look maybe a little different for some of you. So conventional channelized ditches by tile drains export excessive sediment, phosphorus, and nitrogen to downstream systems. And for an example, excess nutrients can get to sensitive places like the Great Lakes. Particularly, we've heard about the Western Lake Erie Basin, and also the Gulf of Mexico. So you can see here on the right, this is a picture of predicted nitrogen export in the Mississippi River Basin. And the rich colors, the blue, are really in the Midwest. So we're getting a lot of our nitrogen from the Midwestern United States. And excess nutrients can contaminate drinking water, harm sensitive downstream species, and fuel these things that we've all heard about, these algal blooms. So this is the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and the rich red colors are where the dissolved oxygen are extremely low during an algal bloom. So this, you all know this, but how can we maintain agriculture productivity and conserve our freshwater resources? Well, we employ these conservation practices. And the idea is to retain the nutrients on the field, decrease nutrient loss from the tiles, and improve water quality. And so, of course, planting cover crops is one way we can do this. And our hypothesis, of course, in the fall, post-cash crop harvest, nutrients are retained in the cover crop. You decrease the nutrient loss from the tiles and improve water quality. And then spring post-cover crop termination, nutrients are released, and then they're available for summer cash crop uptake. So that's the working hypothesis that many of us have. So we did our study in the Shadow Ditch watershed to understand how cover crops affect soil and water quality. During the pre-treatment year, fall 2012 to fall 2013, there was only about 321 acres, 129 hectares in cover crops independently planted by some producers. And then in fall 2013, we beefed that up to 1,610 acres or 651 hectares, and this is 67% of the croppable acres in the watershed. So our graduate student went out and sampled the tile drains all year long, including during very heavy snowfall where she had to pick through the ice on the ditch. And we wanted to ask the question, do cover crops improve water quality? So you can see here the blue is the stream. The green is the tiles draining those long-term cover crop fields, and the maroon are the tiles draining the cover crop fields. To the left is pre-large-scale cover crop planting. So you can see what stands out is that tile drain nitrate without the cover crops are especially high during that spring 2013 period. And then during the spring of 2014, the nitrate from the first year cover crop fields are now similar to tiles drained with those long-term cover crops. So the data have merged here. Now if we sort of summarize this on an annual basis, tiles draining the no-cover crop fields were about 20 milligrams per liter, and then tiles draining the cover crop fields in 2014 were about 13 milligrams per liter, so that's, which is the same as what we saw in the tiles, I'm trying to use the mouse, but the tiles draining the long-term cover crops in 2013. So this is about a 38% reduction in concentration. As you can tell, I forgot to mention this, I'm really focusing on nitrogen in this talk. We did look at phosphorus as well. So cover crops have the potential to reduce nitrogen loss from fields during critical times of year, such as the spring snowmelt. So then we wanted to ask, does the planting of cover crops affect soil nutrients? And so we sampled 14 fields, or really their plots, most with tile drains that served as sort of the center line of our plots. So we had three long-term cover crop fields, eight that were planted in cover crops in 2013, and then three sort of control no cover crops. And we sampled at 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 20 in bulk sampling. We sampled the summer of 2013 before the large-scale cover crop planting, the fall when the cover crops were planted, but post-cash crop harvest, the spring of 2014 when cover crops were really at peak growth, and in two cases we could sample pre- and post-cover crop termination. Again, we're working in a real world, so we can't really control what farmers do, and our communication was not so great. So we could only catch it in two fields. And then we've just finished sort of analyzing our data from the summer of 2014. So first thing we wanted to ask, in the summer of 2013, do cover crops increase nitrogen availability for cash crops? And so here we're looking at a graph of soil nitrate concentration per milligrams N per kilogram of dry soil. For this and all the subsequent graphs, the left bar is where there is no cover crops, the middle is where there are long-term cover crops, and then the right is where we planted cover crops in 2013. And you can see subsequent to this sampling, the cover crop was really beautiful. I forgot to mention that in this watershed we really have planted ryegrass, but it really, we gave the producers an option, and they all pretty much chose ryegrass this year. But I think you can see that it looks like a carpet or a lawn of ryegrass. And I'm only showing you the 0 to 5 centimeter soil because for nitrogen, the trends are basically the same in that deeper soil layer. So summer soil nitrogen, you can see, is significantly higher in cover crop, those long-term cover crop fields. And this could possibly be from recycled cover crop biomass, but another thing we noticed was going on. The second split of fertilizer occurred in June, and you can see the tiles draining the long-term cover crops have similar nitrate concentration coming out of the drains as those that had no cover crops in maroon in July. So this could have just been that the fertilizer was leaching out in this July sampling date. We're not sure, but it speaks to the fact that you need to manage your fertilizer, and cover crops are not a silver bullet. And then this increase on could have been available for that cash crop. In the fall 2013, we asked, do cover crops retain N post cash crop harvest? And generally, there's less N in the fall, and overall no differences with and without cover crops. However, there is a trend of less nitrate within the cover crops, suggesting that this N could have been tied up in the cover crop biomass. How about spring of 2014, do cover crops retain N? Those of you working in the Midwest probably experienced bad cover crops this past spring. As you can see in the picture, this is actually one of the best fields. Some of them essentially bare. So, and we can't show you the long-term cover crop data because when we sampled in the spring, the farmers on these fields had already planted at the end of April and fertilized, so it would be like comparing apples to oranges a little bit, so I'm not even going to show those data. So, but we do see that the fields with the cover crops have lower nitrate than those without cover crops, so again, the N could have been taken up by the cover crop fields. And we were able to sample pre and post cover crop termination in two fields, post on the right, pre on the left. And you can see that there was significantly higher nitrate and lower ammonium post termination, and this could suggest that the ammonium from the cover crop residue could have been nitrified and released and could be available for the future cash crop growth. And finally, summer 2014, do cover crops increase nitrogen availability again for cash crops? And overall, there's no difference with and without cover crops, but again, a trend of higher N in fields with cover crops. But the cover crop, again, was poor in the 2014 spring season, so it may not have been able to add that much recycled N to the system. How about this question? Is shallow soil N related to tile drain N? And this is where we really wanted to see a nice, positive relationship, but we're not really seeing a relationship between soil nitrate on the x-axis and tile drain nitrate on the y. And it may require us to go down deeper, and we may explore this, or I'm open to what other people might think. So in conclusion, then, excess nutrients from adjacent fields are getting into our system, and it begs us to employ landscape practices. Watershed scale practices are ideal, such as what we can do with cover crops. And these decrease soil nitrogen during fall and winter by cover crop uptake. It has the potential to decrease tile drain nitrate concentration by 38%. Increase soil nitrogen from spring termination, and this is available for the summer cash crop. And just wanted to give you some management take-homes as well from what we've gotten from our study. Is that our year-round results show potential positive effects from so-called watershed saturation of common conservation practices. And our practice is obviously catching on. We can see this session is very popular, and it shows the value of watershed-scale demonstration projects. And also this unique partnership we have was just very important between the Nature Conservancy, who contacted us with the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, and then who connected us with the farmers, the producers. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
We have time for a couple questions.
The reason you didn't have cover crops in the spring of 2014, was that annual ryegrass and did it not overwinter?
Yeah, it was a really bad year in the Midwest, and it just didn't pop back up in the spring like they had hoped. And a lot of them actually terminated really early. We tried to encourage them to hang on a little bit, but it just they didn't give it time as well. But
so, are you planning?
Yeah, but it's largely corn soy rotate. We don't, like I said, we don't have a complete control over the rotation, but it's largely corn soy, mostly corn really, and it's just the planting in the fall of the cover crop overwinters, pops back up in the spring, and then the corn or soy is planted in the summer.
So if I caught it right, it seems like you have when you're looking at long-term cover cropping, higher soil nitrate and lower export in tile drain. Is that right?
We see that in the summer. but it's always lower tile drain nitrate if you on average.
Across the hall.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Did you characterize the soil nitrate content this fall of 2012?
No, we started the project in the summer of 2013, so that's and we are going to continue this. We're waiting to hear from some funding opportunities, but we're hoping to continue.
Well, the reason I ask is that we saw in some presentations yesterday that since 2012 was so dry that in a lot of other states they saw a lot of carryover nitrogen in the soil from 2012 to 2015, but the crop was not taking it up. Mm-hmm. So poor conditions were so dry. Mm-hmm. And so we came into the spring of 2015 with higher nitrogen levels in the soil. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just wondering if that would make a difference in your results.
Yeah, we'll have to. I'm hoping we can sample for a few more years and try to tease out some of these patterns.
All right, let's thank our speaker.